Man, I hit that last note for him if he'd let me. Amen. Enjoyed that. Everybody needs to take their coat off. I don't know. We need to get the ACs checked out, I guess. But I got here early this morning. Earlier. Turned them on early this morning. And I don't know that it made that much difference. So we'll try to get them checked out this week. And it may be all they're doing. It may be all they can do. It's just hot when it's 80-something at night and 100 during the day. It's just the way it is. So anyway. All right. Well, this morning again, I may have already said this tonight, I don't know, but we had about 19 visiting families this morning. And some of those are regular visitors. We have a regular visiting family. Some of them are here tonight. We're glad you're here, absolutely. But I'm just telling you, there was a host of visitors here this morning. Let's pray hard. You know, just pray that God would send many of these our way. And had opportunity. I know there was people here who was lost this morning, who were unsaved, sitting in the pew. A couple of them, as I preached, I could tell they were uncomfortable. And that's always a good sign, Lord dealing with them or whatever the case is. So let's be in prayer for these and for the others. And had a lot of good visits yesterday, as well as appreciate the Scruggs and others who were out yesterday. And the many that came out Tuesday night, got a lot covered, a lot of ground covered the last couple of weeks. I like looking on some of the visits I make and look back and see that they've already been visited twice by somebody else. And what a blessing it is. And that is the main thing. I mentioned about happiness this morning, and happiness is all about walking with God. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So that happiness involves a relationship with the Lord and wherein you are in agreement with Him. And in order to be in agreement with Him, you've got to be right with Him. Amen? In order to be right with Him, you've got to read the Word of God. And I preached a message a month ago on provision through God's Word. I'm going to preach the second part of that verse, or second part of that message. And so turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we'll be brief tonight. But in order to overcome sinful habit patterns, to grow in righteousness, to develop that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us as Christians should desire to have, we must have a certain attitude towards the Word of God. And I tell you what, Brother Williams did a great job Wednesday night. Again, Brother McNeil's and Miss McNeil's son-in-law did a great job Wednesday night, again, just reiterating and reaffirming and just telling it again that in order to develop and grow as a Christian, you've got to read your Bible. And you need an appetite. He asked that question. Remember, he said, do you have an appetite for the Word of God? If you don't, then why? You should have, as a Christian, an appetite for the Word of God and for the things of God. And our attitude towards the Word of God should be, number one, one of reverence. We preached this a month ago. One of reverence. We should reverence the Word of God. In other words, we should regard it with affection. Do you love the Word of God? You love your spouse, amen? But do you love the Word of God? Do you have affection for it? Do you really love it? And I wish we had time to preach and teach. And I spent some time with a man yesterday talking about the King James issue. And just the process that the Bible went through in the English language, much less the Greek and the other areas, but just in the English language, the amount of people who died for us having this English Bible in our hand. We should love it, the Word of God, have a reverence for it. It shouldn't be just laid aside. We should teach our children to reverence it. We also not only should we reverence it as a child of God, but we should obey it. Again, we should be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Obeying the Word of God proves our love to God. The Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if we love Him, we will. And as a Christian, we should desire to keep His commandments. And all of that, but the Word of God says that God will give us strength to obey Him. I can do all things through Christ, but strengtheth me. And lastly, not only should we reverence, obey, but we should depend upon the Word of God. The Word of God, as the Bible says, is everlasting, preserved for us today. I believe in the King James Bible. Depend upon it. Why? Because it gives light. It gives guidance. It is everything we need to live our lives, to raise our children, to operate our finances, to govern our churches, and on and on and on. What you hold in your lap is the greatest book on earth. If we are to be happy as Christians, we need to learn and we need to develop an appetite for the Word of God. We need to reverence it. We need to obey it. and we need to depend upon Him. Understanding that the Word of God is our food. It's our source of nutrition to grow. It's the sustenance by which we live spiritually. And not only that, but it's by way which we spiritually exercise. I don't know about you, but I need to exercise more physically. I don't do enough of it. But I also need spiritual exercise. And spiritual exercise is when you sit down before you go to work and you read your Bible. That's spiritual exercise. It's building your spiritual muscles. And we all need that. And then also, if we are to stay spiritually fit, we must bring in or take in the proper food, the right amount of food, and also the right amount of spiritual exercise. As we look at this again tonight, I'm going to bring this. This is heat's getting to me, isn't it? I can see all of you. Y'all are fading on me fast. Just wait till we get out there. Can you remember the days in which they didn't have air conditioning? Just think back to those days, right? No? Anyway. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read. Ready? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, and you ought to underline that, prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be prosperous and have good success? Heed the Word of God. Reverence, obey, and depend upon the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, bless us, the reading of Your Word tonight. Bless the activities to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only should we have the proper attitude towards the Word of God, but we also should, again, have the proper use of the God's Word. Turn over to 2 Timothy, a familiar passage. I want to break this down for you. It's been a while. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you might want to write down this little outline out beside it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you've heard it before, but maybe you haven't written it down. Verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." By the way, that's the most important thing the Word of God does for us. Makes us wise unto salvation. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't know what salvation is. Amen. Verse 16, very popular verse. We read it a lot. All Scripture, not part of it, but all of it, is Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And I had the question asked me yesterday, do you believe the Word of God is inspired? Do you believe it's God-breathed? Absolutely, I do. Do I believe God gave us the Word? Absolutely. Do I believe it's without error? Absolutely. And here it tells you what the Word of God is for. Number one, it is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. That word doctrine there means teachings. It means principles based upon truth. Out beside it, you might want to read, write down in your Bible, write down what is right. What is right? Doctrine teaches us what is right. The Bible teaches us what is right. So not only is it profitable for doctrine, for teachings, for principles of truth, for understanding what is right. Number two, for reproof. For reproof. That means to rebuke, to tell someone severely that his or her conduct is wrong. Have you ever been reading your Bible? Or, again, in a service like this, in a preaching service, and something that's said or something you read rebukes you, reproves you? Amen. Guilty as charged. The Word, again, reproves us. It tells us what's not right. So the Bible teaches us what's right. Then it teaches us what's not right. And then thirdly, it says, not only that, for reproof, for correction. For correction. And that means to put right. To put a right. To put a right. In other words, how to get right. So the Bible teaches us what is right. It teaches us what is not right. It teaches us, number three, how to get right. How to get right. Amen. If we're to walk with God, we have to learn how to get right. The Bible teaches us how to do so. And lastly, for instruction in righteousness. And you've heard the outline before. That fourth one is how to stay right. How to stay right. Again, if you've got room in your Bible, things down. This thing's cutting out again, isn't it? How to stay right. What is right, what is not right, right? How to get right, and then fourthly, how to stay right. How to stay right. The Word of God is profitable. It's profitable. I told you a few weeks ago that the code word today is the word relevant. You hear this a lot in the packaging of a lot of churches today. They'll use the word, we are relevant. But let me tell you, the Word of God is always relevant. We always relevant. Why? Because it's relevant to today. It's profitable for what is right, for what is wrong, for how to get right, and how to stay right. And that's exactly where we need to be if we want to have and hold and have that relationship with God. Amen? And I hate to amen myself. You know, do you want to walk with God? I do. I do. I don't always walk as close to Him as I should, but I want to. I know how to do that. I know how to do it. I know that reading my Bible is required in order for me to walk with God. Amen? Now, again, I don't mean to tell you that if you don't read your Bible, God's going to come down and strike you down with lightning. Okay? Well, I'm glad we serve a loving God. So if you miss one day of Bible reading, don't, you know, go back there and start beating yourself up. But at the same time, in order to develop a relationship with Him, there must be a consistent time spent in the Word of God, building your spiritual muscles. And this is why when a Christian has been a person has been a Christian for 20 or 30 years, a person who's been a Christian for 20 or 30 years should be more spiritually fit than a person who's been a Christian for just a year. But many times it's not the case. Because many times we get so apathetic about the Word of God. Many times because we've heard it 1,000 times. It's the same way with hymns. A lot of people have gotten away from hymns, churches have, because we've sang them so many times. And they become repetitious to us, and people would say they become boring. That's not true. That's not true if you're singing them with your heart. It's the same thing when I preach. Basically, there are about 25 important subjects in the Bible, and that's it. You realize that when we're preaching, that basically we're preaching 25 subjects from just various different angles. And a lot of times, if you sit in a church long enough, especially listen to the same preacher for 15 years, you're going to hear a lot of the same stuff. And a lot of times we can become calloused to it. It's kind of like on Easter when we preach on the cross and it doesn't move us the way it used to move us. And as Christians, when we read our Bibles, many times it doesn't move us like it used to move us. But let me tell you, that's not God's fault. That's our fault. When we come to the Bible, we need to come to the Bible each time as if it was a brand new chocolate pie. Like the one piece I had this afternoon that I snuck in and stole from the fellowship they were having in here. I think somebody said Miss Henderson made it. It was very good. But the anticipation of that chocolate pie, I saw it. So I've got to have a piece of that. And it was very, very good. I've had chocolate pie a ton. If I could, I'd have it every day. Right? You know what? I've got a better illustration. I like, and we're going to talk about food because it's just good. I need to stop doing this, but it's a good illustration. It really is. I like chocolate chip Chips Ahoy cookies. I don't like them soft, mamby-pamby kind like Brother Clark likes. I like the hard kind. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he can't defend himself. He'll do that next Sunday. I like the old Chips Ahoy cookies. You know, the kind you got to stick down in the milk or at least, you know, eat it and drink some milk with it to get affected. I've eaten a ton of chocolate chip cookies, Chips Ahoy cookies. There's no doubt at least once a week I have a few. And probably more than that. I can sit down and eat a whole package, but I don't do that because that's wrong. No, I've really never done a whole package, but I've gotten pretty close. But, you know, every time I sit down to eat chocolate chip Chips Ahoy cookies, seriously, to me each time, it's wonderful. It's great. Even though I've had them 100 times. You know why? Because my taste buds are geared that way. I've developed a taste for Chips Ahoy cookies. Listen, I was saved when I was 6 years old. I've read the Word of God since I was six. I remember going to my mom and dad saying, listen, look, I read the first chapter of Genesis, you know, and just all the excitement behind that. I remember leading my cousin to the Lord when I was about 7 or 8 years old. All these things, but I've been around it all my life. And if we're not careful, we lose that anticipation for the Word of God. We lose that appetite for the Word of God. We no longer see it as a Chips Ahoy cookie that we long for, that we want, whatever that may be. And listen, God hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. We're the problem. And we need to go to God, as Brother Williams was saying Wednesday night. We need to go to God and say, where have I slipped? And Lord, give me again a taste and a longing for the Word of God. Because again, in order to be happy in this life, and that's what God intends us for us to be, is happy, we must read the Word of God and develop a spiritual walk with Him. I don't want you to raise your hands, but if I was to have you raise your hands, I would ask the question, how many of you have a personal walk with God on a consistent basis? Now, if you've been a Christian just a year, you probably would say, I haven't developed that yet. And you know what? That would be justifiable. It takes time, many times, to develop that consistent walk. Maybe it's been 5 years since you've been saved, or 6 years, and you're still developing that. I told you before, one time I went to Brother Rigsby, who is a trusted professor of mine, and he's spoke here before. In fact, he did our marriage conference this year. And I remember going to him at the seminary and asking him, how long did it take you to develop a consistent walk with God? And I was shocked when he said to me, it took 10 years. 10 years. I was reading a book. I have a book that has a lot of the biographies, short biographies of the great men of God from the 1700s and 1800s and 1900s. And they did a study of those men and just studied their lives and as by way of their fellowship with God, by way of their walk with God. And on a consistent average, it was 15 years for men like D.L. Moody and men like Billy Sunday and men like before God truly did something wonderful in their life because of their consistent walk with God. And what I'm saying is this is, number one, I don't want you to use that as an excuse. But number two, I want you to know, don't give up. Don't give up. If you've been saved 20 years, don't give up. Don't give up. Develop that consistent walk with God. It takes time to do so. Again, the Bible's there to teach us what is right. You're not going to know what's right unless you read the Word of God. Again, what is not right? The Bible clearly spells it out for us, black and white. You need the Word of God in order to get right, and then you need the Word of God to stay right. In order for the Word of God to be profitable for us, it needs to be applied. How is it to be applied? In other words, what are the steps we're going to take that will aid us in understanding and applying the Word of God? Number one is hearing the Word of God. In order to be able to apply the Word of God, you've got to know the Word of God. And one of those is by hearing it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's by hearing the Word of God that our faith grows. We talked about this morning, it's one of trials develops our faith, but the Word of God also develops our faith. And we grow by reading the Word of God. We must hear God's Word being preached and being taught. That's why I encourage people. I say, listen, come and hear the Word of God being preached, whoever's preaching. And I always warn them. I say, listen, the sermon or the message you miss may be the very message that God intended to change your life with. That's why you shouldn't miss a Wednesday night either. You just never know what God may do with the message being spoken. Not only should we, in this step of being profitable, the Word of God being profitable in our life, to hear the Word of God, but to read it. 1 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, give attendance to reading the Word of God. We should study the Word of God. We should study the Word of God. And again, we could read various scriptures for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We must study the Word of God. The Bible says it's of no private interpretation. When we study the Word of God, we should study the Word in its context. I used this years ago, but I'll use it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. The Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. I've heard that particular verse preached at funerals many, many times by good men of God. And every time I hear it preached, I cringe because the way they interpret that verse is absolutely wrong. And it's not just, smoke and mirrors. I mean, if you read the context of the verse, you absolutely understand and know that's not talking about that when we get to heaven, we'll understand and we'll know everything and we'll know the beginning from the end and so forth. That's not what that verse is saying. Though if you take it out of context, it's, you know, you could interpret that way. And guess what? The Bible says we will know when we get to heaven. We will know, be able to ask questions about why certain loved ones died and certain times. And we'll get to know all those things. Just as a thought, though, I don't believe when you check out of this life and go to the next that you'll know everything. I don't believe it comes to you instantaneously. I believe we'll be learning throughout all eternity. All right? God didn't just stuff it in your brain. Amen? You're not going to get to heaven and all of a sudden know about everything about Noah's flood. You go ask Noah, and he'll teach you about it, right? That's one of the great things about heaven. It's going to be a great time. But this particular verse is talking about that when the Word of God is completed, which it was in 95 A.D., then they'll no longer be looking through a glass darkly. They'll no longer have to look through shades of doctrine and shades and shadows of doctrine, but they'll have it all right in front of them. They'll no longer have to look through a glass darkly, but face to face. And the Bible talks about looking to the Word of God as looking to a mirror. It's talking about the Word of God. And you can go read the context. What I'm saying is, when you're reading the Bible, always, always read in context. Read in context. Amen. Study in context. What is the purpose of the passage? What is the context of the passage? What is this passage trying to teach me? And we could spend a lot of time here. Sometimes you need to get a dictionary out. Don't just bypass a particular scripture. Get your Webster's dictionary out. You don't have to know Greek to know your Bible. It's already been translated for us in the English language. Just get a Webster's dictionary, look it up. 9 times out of 10, you have the answer right there. Amen. And then also, is your interpretation of that scripture consistent with the revelation, with the river of the revelation of the Word of God? In other words, is it consistent, the scripture you're interpreting, consistent from Genesis to Revelation? Again, you could take one verse out of context and be David Koresh all day long. But you always interpret Scripture in light of the context. Not just the context of the chapter, but the context of the entire Word of God. So if you're out of stream, if you get out of the bank somewhere instead of staying in the stream of Revelation, then you know that verse is not saying what you think it's saying. I love it. And many times God will give us something from the Word of God that He opens our eyes to some understanding of the Word of God. But let me tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. I have individuals come to me, not very often, but sometimes they'll come to me and say, look, I found something new in the Word of God. You found something new in the Word of God, yes. But there's nothing new under the sun. Right? If you found some new doctrine in the Word of God, more than likely, if it's new to everybody, more than likely you've gotten out of the river of Revelation and onto dry ground. You better jump back in the river. Amen? Don't be careful. Be careful. Interpret the Word of God. Not only should we study the Word of God, not only should we, again, read it and hear it, but we should memorize it. How many of y'all want me spending time on this one? Everybody shake your head no, and I'll move on. What did Jesus use when he was confronted by Satan? He used the Scriptures. I can't tell you enough. Just memorize a few. Just take Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 and memorize them. And when you're confronted by Satan, when you know absolutely, you feel that heaviness and you feel that temptation and you know it's not your flesh, you know it's not the world, but you know that it's one of Satan's imps or whatever, use the Word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, find some verses that you can quote back at him and tell him to get behind me, Satan. Amen? There's nothing Pentecostal about that. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's spiritual. Use the Word of God. Memorize it. Meditate upon the Word of God. This word meditating I need to preach a whole message on it. Meditating means that you not only do you read it, but you think about it. But the meditating also has to do with application as well. Again, the Bible says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We should not only read the Word of God, but we should apply it to our lives. In fact, it does very little good if we read the Bible and we don't apply it to our lives. It does very little good to come to church and hear messages and messages and messages and messages and go months and months and months without God ever stirring your heart and ever convicting your heart and causing you to apply something in your life. Apply the Word of God. Be a doers of the Word. What are the benefits of the Word of God? Well, number one is salvation. We read it a moment ago. Wise unto salvation. Aren't you glad for the Word of God that brought salvation? Amen? Amen. And then also, we understand and know the Word of God is our guide. Our guide. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's our guide. I enjoy seeing the little children running around here. And I was looking at Michael and Juanita's kids. I was like, man, I'm getting old. Somebody was pointing at me the other day saying, preacher, we did that to you. You know, all the gray hair I got and the baldness going on. But, you know, see these little children running around. I'm again reminded what a blessing it is to have a road map that I can rely on. Not some Harvard psychologist who doesn't know, anyway. I can give some redneck understanding there. But the Word of God, a guide to raising a family and doing it right. Raising a family that God will bless. I absolutely believe if you'll do it the Bible way, if you'll do it the Bible way, that you'll raise children up that'll be a blessing to you. You don't do it Spock's way. You don't do it some psychologist's way. You do it the Bible way. The Bible way. Where it's the love and discipline. It's our guide. It's our roadmap for life and finances, every area of life. Also, it's the Word of God that brings comfort in times of trials. Again, I think of Jared and Lisa today. It's the Word of God that brings comfort during times of trials. We need to be preached to. Not just so we can apply various things, but also so the Word of God brings comfort to our hearts. And I felt this morning, I told Brother Stone, I preached that message just out of a feeling that we've been the congregation's been preached hard to the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I felt like you needed a message like that. We do. We need messages that just says, hey, listen, God is not just a God there to correct you and use the rod on you, but God is there to comfort you, encourage you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Get back up. And God will empower you to do so. But not only that, but the various benefits, lastly, is prayer. Maybe we don't think so much about this being a benefit, but you understand that a lost person cannot biblically pray. Does that make sense? Unless it's the sinner's prayer, amen? God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. I think that applies both to the lost and to a Christian who has sin in their life. But prayer is a benefit of salvation. That you go directly to God. You don't have to go through some guy in a telephone booth. You go directly to God and you pray to Him as priests and kings. You go to Him. It's a benefit. Ask what you will, He says, and I'll give it to you. What a great benefit we have. Then, I love this verse. Let's turn there and then we'll be done. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. Says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth. The Word of God, listen to this part, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. A benefit of salvation is that the Word of God in you. Isn't that something? We understand the Holy Spirit's there. The Bible says that the Word of God works in us. You've been there? I have. You ever been to a preaching service or whatever the case is, and you heard a message, and instead of walking the aisle, you didn't, you know? And that particular message continues the next day to ring in your ears? You don't think the Word of God continues to work in us even after we've read it or after we've heard it? Absolutely it does. It works in us. It works in us. And the Word of God will do that for you. Every time you read it, the Word of God will work in you. The Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is there as a light and a guide. We should reverence the Word of God. We should love it. We should obey it. We should depend upon it. We should read it. We should study it. We should hear it. We should memorize it. We should meditate upon it. And then, of course, we understand that it will work in us. It will work in us, bringing us closer to God. If you want to develop a closer walk with God, you've got to read the Word of God. That's just a fact. Happiness is walking with God. If that's true, then you're going to have to develop a personal relationship with Him. And you can only do that through the Word of God. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, Only Trust.